It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show, and I have to admit, I was unaware that the losing streak was at 15 for the Rockets against the Warriors, and obviously going into last night, the Rockets were going to be able to play that team without Curry and Draymond, and that didn't matter. It didn't matter in the first matchup. Draymond was there, but Curry wasn't, so maybe we just chalk it up and go, don't expect them to win until they do. If they can beat you two times in a season and Curry doesn't play in either game and Kuminga combines for 56 points over the course of two games, maybe you just go, you know what? If it happens, it happens, but I'm not expecting it. 15 straight in the NBA, when you take into account stars not being available like it's been the case this year, and it's still what the streak is. Yeah. Doesn't hurt. Or doesn't help when your backcourt is as bad as it was yesterday. Both guys on concert dates yesterday. It was rough. Kuminga, big game. He was big down the stretch. Not a great shooting night on either side, but when Jonathan Kuminga goes for 33, that's the difference. The Rockets go down. That's now two in a row. I think we might have talked about it last week. Sean wasn't here. But they haven't been on an extended losing streak yet. It's only two games. This doesn't count as one. But you would assume at some point how the Warriors were on a five-game losing streak. They're one of the best teams in basketball until the streak that they broke last night. Is this where this comes? As the Rockets are gearing up for NBA Cup action, they've dropped two in the Bay Area. Could we be on the verge of this West Coast swing kind of changing some of the opinions? And because everyone has to fluctuate depending on the day, it doesn't change my complete opinion of the team, but they're in for it a little bit here. This is their first extended stretch of playing teams who are at least competent. Like, they've played a game or two against good basketball teams, but then it's always broken up by, oh, look, the Wizards are in town, or we get to go play the Pistons. It's been a lot of that.
Yeah.
We haven't seen, hell, just even playing the Kings, who aren't great, but playing the Kings and the Warriors in back-to-back situations, as far as just the games being back-to-back, I haven't seen a lot of that this year.
Yeah. And they got the Clippers on Sunday, and then the Cup.
Against the Warriors.
Against the Warriors. And then they do kind of get, you know, Pelicans, Raptors, Hornets, Pelicans.
There we go. That's what we're used
to.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah.
And then T-Wolves Heat, so to end the
And they've
the
owned the Clippers this year in home games. That two-game set where they played one night, took a day off, then played another night. They beat up on the Clippers.
Yeah.
Now they'll have to go on the road and play at the Intuit Dome.
Yeah,
excuse me.
Go to the wall.
Yeah, got to deal with that rabbit fan base. The Clippers are 14-10, so they're not a bad basketball
playing
team.
A little bit better now.
Yeah. So this could be a stretch where we start to ask some questions, and they're the same questions this show has continued to ask, but maybe people who have been all in, we're number two in the West. We're competing for the one seed. These are the type of road gauntlet or at least slate of games in a row that may slow down some of the momentum for a team who, from night to night, you can't really depend on them to shoot the ball well. And that certainly was the case last night. So it's a tough one. You expect to win that game, considering what you've done so far this year. Even with the Warriors' streak at the time before the game at 14, you go, okay, no Curry, no Draymond. We can get this one.
Am I crazy, or I had no idea that it was a 14-game?
I had no idea either. Now, if you're always upset about the Warriors, which I can understand Houston fans being, I'm sure it's mentioned on the broadcast.
Yeah.
At some point, Ackerman, it's probably not a graphic for it, or maybe they do make a graphic, but maybe Craig Ackerman or Hollins goes at some point, 13 in a row.
Yeah.
And then now it was 14 before last night. Now it's 15. The Rockets can, yeah, I'm sure it has to be brought up because a streak is a streak. That's a long, long streak.
Yeah, that's from 2020.
Yeah, we're talking about four seasons of basketball.
They'll play three and then maybe a fourth time a year.
Yeah, they'll play four times this year, I believe.
Because they play in the cup.
They'll play in the cup. Yeah, so there that is. So.
But yeah,
that's a lot of games in a row to lose. I know the Rockets have been bad the three seasons before last. Yeah. But this streak is at this point.
I was gonna say some of the streak the last six is what's really surprising.
Yeah, because
Going 0 for the last six. Like when you go back to the Christian Wood era, not surprised.
Not surprised by the Warriors.
Not surprised. When they were winning the championship and the Rockets were
one of the worst teams in basketball.
Yeah, and trying to get Wembanyama, I think, in that season. Or no, it would have been the year before. It would have been when they were trying to get Paolo Banchero and Chet Holmgren and Jabari Smith.
Yeah.
No way. Those teams beat the Rockets, but they've been two pretty evenly matched teams. I mean, the two games they played this year have been close.
Yep.
Really what happens is the Warriors jump all over the Rockets, and the Rockets spend the rest of the game
trying to
digging out that hole, mm-hmm. which they did in the late third, early fourth. They got it pretty close, and the Warriors kind of did the thing where they get it to seven, and the Rockets cut to five, and they get it back to seven, and they just kind of keep the Rockets at arm's length until the very end, where they played a little bit of the free throw game stuff.
Yeah, they kept batting them away anytime the Rockets tried. They would get a stop or get an offensive rebound a putback, things like that.
That to me was the biggest thing. It was the rebounding. That was the biggest. The Rockets have won a lot of games where they, like you said, we sit here and our concerns are the offense. Oh, my God. If Alperen Şengün or Fred VanVleet or Jalen Green aren't having a good night, it gets to real tough basketball to watch, but the way they can still, and it's probably not true anymore, but I think going into this game, they're a top 10 offensive team in the league. A lot of that is, A, they never turn the ball over. B, they get a bunch of offensive rebounds. They got 11 last night, but that's not, when you're missing, 63% of your shots, that you're going to need more offensive rebounds.
Yeah, nearly 60 shots, period. They 35 of 93 on a night for them. A bad night shooting from your two guys who shot the most. You had Fred and Jalen combined for 9 of 32 and 3 of 14 for 3. At least Jalen got to the line. If he didn't get to the line seven times, we are talking about one. I wouldn't say it's his worst game because I'm sure if I went down the game logs, I could find him.
There's no way that's his worst.
No. Going 14 points on 16 shots isn't great.
No.
But there's no way it's one of his worst games. It just so happened. It came on a night where you felt like you had a real opportunity. Steph Curry celebrating when he's in uniform is awful. But watching him stand on the sideline in whatever he's decided to wear. I think it was an Under Armour sweatsuit last night.
Yeah, by the way, what happened to the dress code?
There was a long time gone, Sean, the dress code. Been a long time since players were required to wear collared shirts.
Show some respect to the NBA.
He doesn't show respect celebrating Kuminga's success against the Rockets. Come on. The shimmying, the night-night stuff he does when he knocks down a clinching shot to ice game. All right, at least he's actually contributing. Him standing over there, skipping and hopping when his guys make plays is way worse.
Put on a tie.
You're focused on the dress code. I'm just focused on all the histrionics. I don't want to watch it when he's not even playing.
No, I mean, there's a could we accuse him of a little bit of look at me?
I think that's always been part of his game.
When it's LeBron, it's very look at me. When it's Steph, he's happy for his teammates.
Calling it privilege that Steph gets away with it. I don't think it should be a real criticism. I'm just hating, obviously. I just don't like it.
Yeah, no, we are four made Fred VanVleet a shot. Fred VanVleet and Jalen Green shots away from not caring about this.
Not at all.
Because he doesn't celebrate. But yeah, the out of uniform running onto the court,
biggest
to hug,
cheerleader stuff,
to like hug and do the thing where you push them and yeah, whatever. Enough. To Kuminga.
Sit down.
Let Kuminga have his moment, old man.
Stop. Haven't you had enough moments? Why are you trying to steal Kuminga's moment? You know
you at the cup.
Yeah. If you even bother to show up, if you even bother to put on a uniform, are you going to be in another Under Armour sweatsuit celebrating? And hopefully not celebrating. But considering it's at 15, who's to say it won't get to 16?
And it's at Toyota Center. For some reason, I feel worse about the Warriors coming to Toyota Center than playing in Oracle and at the Chase Center. I feel like
there have been a lot of awful moments.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like for me, that's the ultimate scene of the crime in 2018.
Yeah.
But like I just have so many memories of those guys making shots at Toyota Center that I'd like, no thanks. I rather play in the gentrified arena that they play in now.
Yeah, you're not scared to walk in there. Yeah,
I'm scared of Oracle.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of Chase, even though they literally have never won at Chase Center. And,
yeah, at least they have win in Oracle.
They've never won there.
Yeah, they do have a win in Oracle, but yes, it's less scary for the overall vibes to go into Chase. Just so happens that it doesn't matter where the Rockets and the Warriors play right now. The Warriors are going to win. Doesn't matter who's on the court either. That can all change in the most important matchup since possibly the scene of the crime. We've got cup action, and the Rockets have a chance to exercise some demons, Sean. Exercise some of your demons with a win over the Warriors.
Gosh.
Can you imagine
celebrating? No matter what, the day after, we're gonna say, is this – have the Rockets gotten their revenge?
Will they ever beat this Warriors
team? Yeah, or where does this stand on the Rockets versus Warriors disappointment power rankings? I mean, we already have that segment locked away. Need to know if they win or lose.
Hey, don't worry, everybody. December 12th, we got something for
you. Put it on your calendar.
Yeah, get ready.
10 o'clock.
Get ready for
10:04.
Get ready for it. Rockets-Warriors recap of NBA Cup action. So that's what happened last night. The streak's up to 15. And then they are starting this West Coast swing. Not great. They got the Clippers, and as I said before, they beat up on the Clippers. Hopefully, that'll continue when they see them and try to break what is now a short two game losing streak. So there that is. We will come back with what happened last night in the NFL. I know a lot of people are looking at what the Lions did and thinking about their own head coach here in Houston and saying, man, Dan Campbell. I don't really have Dan Campbell envy. I'm envious of some other aspects of that Lions team, but not necessarily their head coach. He's very aggressive, we know. He goes for it on fourth down. They usually work out for him. One time it didn't, but overall, he came out ahead. Lions get the win. We'll talk about that. But first, I do want to mention MyBookie. You can go to MyBookie.ag, put some money down right now. We got a giant weekend in college football. We have a game tonight. You want Mountain West action? We got it for you at MyBookie. We'll let you bet on it. Go to MyBookie.ag. And check it out. Whether you think this is going to be a game where Ashton Jeanty carries the ball a lot to prove his Heisman case to go get into the playoff, you can take a look at what they have to offer. Saturday, we got big games throughout the day. The NFL, big game last night, got great games this weekend. All that you can take advantage of at MyBookie. Remember, their tiered program, MyBookie Plus. The more you bet, the more chances you have to win. They're giving you chances to get prizes and obviously win money as well. So mybookie.ag is a website. Use that promo code BET975. And remember this. You can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We've got some news. I don't know if you want to put it in the breaking category, but Randy Moss is stepping away from Sunday NFL Countdown. We remember on Sunday he mentioned some issues with his family, and now he is going to step away. And this comes from Adam Schefter, and they're offering support and all the things, and he'll be back when he's ready. So Adam Schefter breaking news on an ESPN employee stepping away. That I feel like it's a little odd.
How do you get that scoop? I am glad that you got in there quick with saying it's we have news, breaking news, and then you immediately said what it was because. And you didn't give me time to play the horn because I would have felt bad.
Well, I did say
the Lance horn.
I said I don't know if it's breaking news. I did say that.
I would have felt bad. And then you're like, Randy Moss has stepped away due to family and health issues.
Do you think they say? I guess the thought is give that to Schefter because it'll that's the most visibility.
Yeah, and it's keeping it in house.
Yeah.
Like, you want to give that to.
Or maybe just have the.
John Oran?
No, but the official ESPN account can say it. I'm not sure throwing it to your newsbreaker.
Front office sports? You don't want to give it to them?
I'm not suggesting they should allow someone else to get a bite and break it, but handing it to your newsbreaker and saying, hey, let everyone know. It's a little. I don't know. It's off putting to me, considering what his business is.
I have a question because I don't have the tweet in front of me.
Okay.
Do they have a breaking news graphic? Do they tweet it with a picture?
No.
Where it says it's a picture of Randy Moss and then breaking underneath it?
No, they did not.
Okay.
They did not do that.
That's good.
They did
That's
not
good.
Do
That's
that.
Tasteful.
No, it's a little write up about a sentence from Schefter, okay. and then it's a graphic with the more extended version of what's going on.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
They showed some grace.
Yeah,
in that
just
regard,
the giant, yeah. giant blown-up picture.
No, not,
out.
No, with the no.
out indefinitely.
No, not okay. not the case. Hopefully, whatever's going on with the Moss family comes to a positive outcome. But Randy Moss will no longer be on countdown until I guess things get situated. I brought up the Lions and the Packers last night. We'll get to our thoughts, but let's hear from Mike first. He wants to talk about the Lions. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Dale. First of all, the Adam Schefter thing, is he just a robot that's, like, automated to automatically, like, make a comment about anything that happens off the NFL? I mean, that's so weird. Second thing, really quickly, with the Rockets, I don't know. I think the Warriors have some kind of voodoo magic on us. We just suck. They are our complete daddies every time we play them. And I don't care who says it. There's no way you can convince me that Ryan Hall and Craig Ackerman are the best we can do for our broadcast team. Those guys, there's no way that's the best we can do. That is absolutely crazy. I have to hear Ryan Hall talk about Margarita Mondays again. I'm going to die.
Okay.
Watching the football game last night, my real question was, why does it always seem like, whether it's the Lions, the Chiefs now, but like the Packers, their quality of football is so extremely higher than anything I've ever seen from the AFC South. Like, that game was very entertaining. It was a heavy-hitting game. There were, like, really good calls, really controversial, like, calls also. But it was just a really good football game. And I don't think I've ever seen a Texans game that's almost looked anywhere almost as good as what that game was last night. Is it the coaching? Is it the talent? Why is it so like drastically better on with teams like the Lions and stuff like that? Anyways, that was my question. Thanks, Bill.
Appreciate it, Mike. The Texans have been at best average football team for their entire existence. So you're not going to get a high quality brand of football. The 2011 team before, and maybe 2012 too. Those two teams were legitimately, in a lot of people's eyes, Super Bowl teams, potential Super Bowl teams. We know the Matt Schaub thing. He got hurt, and then he was just really the Matt Schaub in 2012. But 11, a lot of people thought that team had a shot. He got hurt. 2012, they fell apart down the stretch. Really, they started out great. They didn't finish. They didn't finish 2012 very
were they
well.
Like 10-1 or something.
Yeah, they were
and
good.
They went like 12-4. Yeah, 11-5.
Yeah. Like then the playoff disappointment seemed predictable at that point. So they just haven't been good enough. But to the Lions, have the Texans ever had as good of a team as this Lions team? Now, the Lions are banged up. They're finding ways. The defense obviously gave up a lot of points. But have they ever been this good? Because the Lions look dominant. Their offense is great. The Texans' offense put up points with Schaub and the outside zone stuff with Arian Foster. And now we're just talking about over a decade ago, so it's hard to compare. But I can't disagree with him. And if you're talking about the more recent vintage, well, they've been awful for the better part of the last 5 or 6 years. The last couple years, surprise last year, this team is more in the vibes of the Bill O'Brien era Texans. So I don't know how old Mike is, but if we're talking about AFC South football, look what the AFC South produces. Of course you're not going to get that level. Of course, if you're watching AFC South football, what happened last night is not what you're going to see. So, Mike, I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah, I think that watching last night's game, watching the especially the Lions, but also the
Packers, yeah.
They lost by three. So it's a pretty even matchup. That is what really hammers home, more than watching the Texans on Sundays, watching
good
those
teams.
Two teams play, especially when they play each other. That's what tells you, oh, there's actually a serious difference between the Texans more than likely going to win the division and make the playoffs, playoff game. And then that's the difference between Super Bowl contenders.
But we say this, and the Texans could have beaten both those teams. Now, the Packer game, they benefited from it. Jordan Love doing the Jordan Love thing, throwing picks and stuff. But they were in that game. They had a lead, and they were leading the Lions. So while I don't disagree with Mike, anyone who's a Texan stan will say, excuse me, we were in both these ball games. In fact, you would say, particularly the Lions game, we should have won that one until we tricked off in the second half.
You got 5 picks from the quarterback, and you didn't
win. I know, which says I remember everything. I know, but if you are on the other side, you go, we played these two teams within a score. It was last second stuff that cost us those games. So if you are a defender, if you are a defender of the Texans, you would say that.
But
the quality of the games weren't great.
Yeah.
Do the Texans drag you down into the mud? Is that what they do?
I was gonna say, like, I remember the week after the Packers game, everyone's like, the Texans played like crap in that game.
But they were in it.
Sure. Congrats.
I'm not saying they played well, but if you're defending them, you're saying
two teams played well against each other.
So that's what I'm saying. Are they like a Rockets where they drag you down into the mud? Is that what the Texans do? Their varying incompetence floats over to the other side, and that's why we get games like we get?
The thing is, the Texans play one-score games with the Lions, with the Packers,
and
with the Jags,
and the Colts.
And the Titans.
Yes, that's
so
true. It's very true.
They just play one-score games with everybody.
This is what I'm. Yeah,
except the Vikings.
They raise up bad teams to their level to play these games, and they sink good teams to their level to play the same.
But
game.
The thing is, the Packers and Lions, when they play bad teams, they put them in the dirt.
Yes, they bury them. Yes, while the Texans were fighting tooth and nail with a Mac Jones-led Jags team, what did the Lions do to the Jags?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
That to me is like where you watch the Lions play, and especially the Lions. You watch the Lions play and you're like, that's a real deal team.
It's
right
about
there.
The ceiling quite a bit. The Texans have a floor that somehow can lower levels of good teams and raise the levels of bad teams. The Lions ceiling is one the Texans have not exhibited, certainly not week after week, and sometimes it can't even get from one half to the other.
And it's more than just like the players on the team too. It's like the coaching, the decision making. Like
yes.
you can agree or disagree with the Dan Campbell fourth down decisions, which the last one I was not down with. I was like, just kick the field goal, dude.
Yeah.
Kick the field goal and try to play defense.
But I thought he was going
for
it as soon as that situation occurred. He's going for it. When they didn't get on 3rd and inches, he's going for it.
It was more like, for me, it was like watching a horror movie where I was like, don't do it. And then they ended up.
And
like,
just like in a horror movie, yeah. the woman running away from the killer falls down.
Yeah.
Jared Goff fell down.
Yeah.
But in this case, they found a way to survive.
Yeah, but you watch like just how, I don't know, they just are cohesive in a way that the Texans just are never cohesive. They
never
play a clean 100% top-down game, which the Lions didn't really even do. But they like know who they are. They know what they want to do on 4th and short. They know what they want to do. They know that they want to go for it on 2nd and 7. They know that if they don't pick it up, they're going to run the ball on 3rd down.
There's no guessing.
So they can go on 4th.
Like we know if we're in a position where it's 4th and 1.5, we're doing this.
Yeah.
And there isn't, they got
to
call a timeout because they ran.
Talk it over.
Or they're up there, they can't get a play, so they got to call a timeout because they weren't exactly ready. None of that happens.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's a difference in how that team plays and how the best teams play. It just so happens that the Texans have been able to compete with some of the best teams in football. They beat the Bills in another game where they were good in the first half and not good in the second half. They dragged Josh Allen down into the mud. One of his worst game of the season. Jared Goff throws the 5 picks. Jordan Love throws picks. The game is closed. And yet, when we look at them compared to those three teams after those games, we're like, they're not as good as them.
Maybe you are right. Maybe they just – I don't know. I can't think of other teams in that same vein in football where, yeah, they really do just junk it up against everybody. And that's how they just drag teams down to their level. Or the Texans play an ugly game, but they also force the other team to play an ugly game, really for weird reasons. Like, it's not like it's always one thing where they get different. They got a million sacks on Will Levis. He won. But they get a million sacks on you, or they turn the ball over. They force you to throw 5 interceptions. Which I don't know how much forcing they're doing of Jared Goff. Jared Goff was,
at least on that night, yeah,
willingly to throwing some.
He
of
was
those
happy to, yes.
But I don't know. Maybe it's just it is that it's the way that they play. It's the way the Texans play, where you're like, this is not going to work in real deal.
Having your
games.
Quarterback always in third and long, having to make a play, it feels very unsustainable, and it's been that way all year, and the record would tell you. Being 8-5 in the AFC South, despite being 4-1 in the division, you look at how those games have gone. Yeah. I laid it out.
Have they covered the spread in any of them?
I don't know that. I know were they underdogs against the Lions? They might have been, so that might be one.
Yeah,
but
they were. They're definitely underdogs.
But they're only a +7. They're 4-1 in AFC South, and they're a +7 point differential. That's the type of things we're talking about. A bad division, you are dominating it with the wins and losses, but the games themselves show you that you are more than capable of losing all of them, and you happen to lose one very recently. Okay, we will. That wasn't going to be a Texans aren't good segment, but Mike decided he wanted to make the comp, and he's not wrong when you look at how the good teams play and how the Texans play. We don't have to worry about them on Sunday. You don't have to worry about being frustrated by them this week because they have a bye. Let's see how they do against the bye. But before we go to break, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one in daily fantasy sports, and it's time to – it's real deal college football playoff time. Not the college football playoff, but basically play-in games or seeding games for the college football playoff with Championship Saturday here. And you got the SEC championship, and it gives me the opportunity to do one of my favorite things. Now, these projections aren't quite ready to go on Prize Picks. They haven't put up these squares, but they always put up these squares for these games. It is quarterback interceptions. One of my favorite things to include on a Prize Picks lineup, and you have two quarterbacks in the SEC that are willing to throw an interception. That's right. I like Quinn Ewers to throw an interception. I like Carson Beck to throw an interception. And just for fun, you got Arch Manning for a rushing or receiving touchdown. I don't think he's going to get a receiving touchdown, but maybe we see more of the Arch Cat that we saw in College Station this past Saturday. I cannot wait for college football this college football weekend to be on Prize Picks, looking at Ashton Ginty's more or lesses, looking at all these different teams more or lesses, looking at Dylan Gabriel, looking see what I like in for Penn State against Oregon, for Boise State against UNLV. I can't wait. I'm going to do it on Prize Picks, America's number one in daily fantasy sports. If you want to get on the action, you download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES to Prize Picks to get $50 when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
ESPN
97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
What we did not get to from the Lions and Packers game last night was something that happened before the game, and then Matt LaFleur addressed it after the game. If you missed it, NFL Network was doing one of their, it's kind of what you might call one of their, I don't know actually what you might call it, but they're in studio and they have footage of what's happening in pregame. And Matt LaFleur is being accosted, if you want to say that, by a fan. The fan in a Lions jersey was out there. I think they were wrapping up the flag for the national anthem. They were just finishing that part of the proceedings, and the fan was out on the field. Maybe he had a field pass. Maybe his sole purpose was to help wrap up that flag. But he was barking at Matt LaFleur. As you might imagine, the head coach right before a game has other things he would rather worry about, so he wasn't thrilled. And it was probably more extended than you would want. And he spoke to that about, you know, there needs to be a better job done. He said, in fact, it's generally done better when fans are on the field. Here's Matt LaFleur after the game addressing his back and forth with that Lions fan.
Yeah, I've never been a part of something like that. He was talking junk to our players, giving them the throat slash sign. And I'm,
hold on now.
You know, you're trying to de-escalate it, and then he gets in my face, so... I thought it was pretty unsportsmanlike. Like, I've never seen that. I've been on many fields, and usually they police that much better. I thought it was an arrogant fan that, you know, wanted to get in part of the action. And just, I would like to see security or something step in there and get him out of there. Because he shouldn't be doing that.
After watching the clip, look, I wasn't there. It's not a personal interaction of mine. I just thought it was funny. It's Matt LaFleur's furious. The fan is barking. And it is what you see a fan do at a player or a coach when they're sitting in the stands. How we saw it probably in a more drastic way as Azeez Ashero was being escorted off the field. The fans throwing stuff, yelling at him. It was that type of interaction just up close because there was no barrier of the stands. I get doing it to Matt LaFleur because Matt LaFleur is a coach. What is he, like 5'10", whatever he is. I get the fan not being afraid of Matt LaFleur. He's in shape, but I get him not being afraid of him.
He's the most triable?
Yeah, as far as actual players or Matt LaFleur. I get trying Matt LaFleur in that situation.
Yeah.
I'm not yelling at Eric Stokes. I'm not yelling at Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
Jordan Love, no.
Do they still have A.J. Dillon? Not yelling at him.
No, or maybe he's injured. I'm not sure.
I think he's on IR.
Yeah. You want to yell at Anders Carlson?
Actually
big. He's actually a big guy.
Yeah, I forgot.
The kicker. You want to yell. You think you might want to get away with yelling at the kicker, but Anders Carlson's actually. He is. Actually, he's with the Jets now. He's not even there. I don't know who's there right now.
Bum.
But he is a giant individual, so don't even try him. The fan picked this battle. Like,
yeah, I'm surprised Mike McDaniel doesn't get punked left and right.
Yeah, Mike's too likable, unless you're a Dolphin fan and you're losing to everybody who has a pulse. So that's what you're upset about.
Like, but I don't know if the Bills fans or Patriots or Jets fans are doing throat slashes.
The Patriots and the Jets ain't got nothing to say. They never beat the Dolphins when Tua's there.
They're bad.
Yeah, they're bad. But the Bills, hey,
they're good, so they lose. Yeah, so they win.
Yeah, they don't worry about it. And some of those games have been competitive, but it has not mattered very much since like the early part of 2022. I don't know if I said it to you or off the air, but the funny part of the Dolphins don't beat good teams and Mike McDaniel doesn't, he beat the Bills and the Ravens in back-to-back weeks in his first 3 weeks as a head coach. And since then, it's been nothing.
He used it all up. He was like, that was my best stuff.
Yeah. So, and guess who the Texans' next opponent is?
It is simplifying it to say that we will know if the Texans are a good team or not, whether or not they beat the Dolphins next Sunday.
But
the
game
is
a game.
True.
Yeah.
Especially with how the rest of their season
has gone.
Plays out. Or just the last, you know, three games after that.
Ravens,
Chiefs, yeah. Chiefs, and then Titans, who are 0-1 against.
Yeah.
At home. So there is a little bit of, if you lose that game.
Coming off a bye, too.
Yeah, you're looking at maybe splitting the last four games of the season.
It's not exactly the end, or really the entirety of the season people want it.
Or, I mean, I don't want to say it, but 1-3 the last four games of the season is on the table.
After losing to the Titans and playing the Jags as close as they did, there's nothing off the table for the team. There's nothing off the table.
And 1-3 puts you in danger of, we've been talking about, I think, for like a month, know this team's going to win the division.
Yes, they're going to play on Saturday, early Saturday game.
If you go 1-3, that puts that in peril.
It does. I mean, the Colts aren't great. You have the tiebreaker, so it would take a lot. But 1-3 makes...
If they get their stuff together, and I don't think they have a hard schedule.
Their schedule isn't very tough. I think the one game is... I think they play a team in the wild card chase right now. I think it's either the Chargers or the Broncos. I got to look at it. That's their one tough game coming up.
Broncos. I could be wrong.
Yeah. So... It's not a tough schedule for the Colts, but they're capable of losing games that they shouldn't. They almost lost to the Patriots. It took a 2-point conversion to win that one. So the division still should be in the back pocket, but don't lose to a team who never beats good teams if you think you're a pretty good one. We kind of said that throughout the week, but that'll be a discussion for next week. But, yeah, that happened before the game. LaFleur addressed it. Fans being fans is pretty much what that was. He Lions fans feeling pretty cocky. Hey, you're coming into our building. We don't lose games here. And the Lions have now won 11 in a row. Best team in the NFC. Although they've got question marks on defense. Just don't have a lot of guys right now. But they keep winning thanks to that offense. Best offense in the NFL. Okay. We will come back with... What do you want to get to, Sean? I'll give you the option.
Producer's choice.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about championship weekend, or do you want to talk about a crash out from a Spider-Man?
You know what? This might surprise people. We're normally very college football heavy. I want to crash out from Spider-Man.
You want to crash out from a Spider-Man. Okay, we'll get to that.
What's Tobey Maguire up to?
It's not that Spider-Man.
What? He was the Vegas favorite.
Well, that one's not going to hit. I can't fault the man, but it's very public and embarrassing. That's what I can't fault for. I can't fault him for being a little emotional about it. Not that he ever had a chance, considering the choice this woman made. She picked the exact opposite person from him in multiple ways. But, hey, I get it. You're upset. Maybe don't go on the internet and then try to awkwardly push away from it. So we'll get to that when we come back. I mentioned championship weekend, a lot of games of importance as far as playoff positioning, maybe not necessarily the participants in the playoff. That feels almost kind of set outside of one game. We got Michael Carroll coming up in hour two. He'll tell you what you should or shouldn't watch. And maybe he will talk about the newest Star Wars venture. So we'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sean picked crash out, so we'll get to crash out here. Sean said... One Spider-Man, at least one actor who's played Spider-Man, he's wrong. It isn't Tobey Maguire.
Like minus 500 on the odds board.
It is. If you missed it, I think it was last week, this announcement broke. Hailee Steinfeld, actress, singer, pop star, is now engaged to Josh Allen. The one for the Bills, not the Jags, if you were wondering. Just in case you're wondering.
I wasn't wondering.
I know you weren't. Because we're aware of pop culture. We know she's been dating the Bills quarterback for some time now. They're now engaged, which is congratulations to them, unless you're a hater like some people. I get it. Not that most of you ever had a chance with Hailee Steinfeld, or maybe it's Josh Allen's who you're interested in. But it does hit a little different than when one of your celebrity crushes is now allegedly off the market. But she's a celebrity, so take heart. Is it really going to last? Comfort yourself with that if you're hating.
Don't do that.
I'm not saying they're not very happy right now, but odds are.
You're playing the numbers?
If you're out there playing the long game and you're going to get your money up and eventually meet Hailee, don't expect this to be a 20-year thing. You won't have to wait that long. Most likely.
Job's not done yet.
Most
That's
likely.
What I'm saying. I'm Kobe Bryant. All right. Still got work to do.
Yeah. Yes. Guys, you still got time to get your money up. That's all.
Okay. Okay.
That's
start,
all.
Start investing, doing yes. some push-ups.
I don't know what it has. I don't know what she's interested in. She
radio producers.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were in on Margaret Qualley.
Playing the field, baby.
All right. If she's playing the field, I can play the field.
Yeah. Come on.
I know she doesn't know who I am, but look, I'm going to keep my options open. So there that is. Take heart. It ain't over yet. She hadn't even walked down the aisle yet. Someone who should have taken that advice and stayed off the internet is her. Well, he's the least famous Spider-Man of them all. He is the voice of the animated version in the Across the Spider-Verse world. Shameik Moore. He's a singer, songwriter, actor too. But maybe his most famous role at the moment is the voice of Miles Morales. They've done two really good movies. They got another one coming up, the Spider-Verse Spider-Man. So he takes to Twitter and he writes this. There's still more people to meet, more opportunities to come, and more chances to try, live, learn, and apply. And you think, hey, that's just a random thing. I mean, it's a bunch of word salad nonsense. But, hey, that sounds positive, right?
It's a senior yearbook quote. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. No harm, no foul. Until the internet. It didn't take very long. You don't have to be Sherlock. But, hey. The announcement just got made that his co-star that he's awkwardly hit on publicly, and she's kind of been very polite and as they say, demure, and turning it down, and ha, 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 all that type of thing, while he's talking about how much he likes her as far as so talented and all those things. But everyone gets the vibes. Everyone gets the vibes that this gentleman likes his co-star. And if you've seen Haley Steinfeld, you'd get it. We're not hating on him for that. But the public crash out, Taking to Twitter to let everyone know, hey, there are more people out there. People took note. And, of course, he had to walk it all back. He had to eventually, I think, delete that tweet. Or maybe he deleted another tweet where he was walking all back. When people noticed and he got interaction, he said this. Also crazy what y'all decide to engage with when I post. He tried to say this is not what this is about, but everyone knows. Everyone knows. And this is now going on, much like the Aziz Ashir thing, more than he would like. We're now into week two of this, and he had to go on TikTok. Actually, Instagram Live first, and then he transferred what he did on Instagram Live to TikTok to continue to address the
picture
situation.
Of Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker, or no?
No,
okay,
he did
so
not
it's
do
not
that.
That much like Aziz Ansari.
It's not. No, it's not that. He did not pick the worst. Well, while he may be the least effective Spider-Man, as far as for most people, he did not pick the worst Joker to make his point. He had a public appearance. He was on a panel. He said, it's been a tough weekend, my brother. The internet's been killing me. Well, he wasn't done. This is part of a four-minute clip of him addressing certain parts of his week. We're going to just play the first 50 seconds or so and listen to a man who's been through it, mostly because apparently his biggest crush is now off the market. I don't know, man. She's been dating Josh Allen for over a year. Come to terms. Did you think at some point this was as long as she's not engaged, I still got a shot? Look, you met her first. She didn't pick you, and she picked Josh Allen. As I said, they're completely different individuals in multiple ways. Just Google Shameik Moore and Josh Allen. You're like, wow, certainly opposites. So here's Shameik Moore trying to tone down the noise about his crash out.
Let's get into it. You see this?
He's pointing to his
you
wrist
see that?
And his cheeks.
I was born in this body. I was born in this skin. You feel me?
The music?
Certain things could never fly and be okay. You feel me?
I feel you.
So, yeah. It's about love and spreading positivity out here. We're making an amazing film. I can't wait to get Spider-Verse out there. W Eats.
Mm. A shout out to whatever he's eating.
Think we can make some green juice?
He's very calm. Nothing's bothering him.
It's about making art, you know? Appreciating life, spreading positivity, uplifting the community in positive ways.
No problems
Spider-Man
here.
Spider-Man fans, I get it. You know what I'm saying? Have your fun. Kiki, kaka. You know what I mean? Have your fun.
Unbothered.
That's all I got to say about it.
All right. There it is. Shameik Moore, unbothered, by everything going on.
I will say he says that's all I have to say about it.
And there's like 3.5 more minutes.
I was going to say we're 106 into a 413.
Yeah, I didn't listen to the rest of it because it's not that important. I'm not sure if he went on to talk about other things in his life, but yeah.
Honestly, you could do some editing in the 66 seconds that we heard.
Very true.
But
there it is.
Not bothered. Not mad.
He's not bothered at all by apparently what could have been the love of his life, picking Josh Allen.
Come on.
In his eyes, not in real life, not in reality, but in his eyes.
His coworker that he has a crush on.
Yeah. And how he responded suggests he doesn't know that it's just a crush. He thinks there's something real there. The question is,
stop kikiing, kaka.
I'm not kaka or kikiing. The question is,
kakaing all over the
well, he's been kakaing all over his life the last week. he might want to take his own advice. So do you think there was actually anything there and it just didn't work out, or there was never anything and this is his reaction to finally coming to the realization that he never had a shot? Because you can kind of tell when someone picks someone who is nothing like you that maybe there was nothing there for you. Like, other than they're famous, there's nothing really that brings Josh Allen and Shamik Moore together.
No, there really isn't. Maybe green juice from the sound of it.
Maybe. W Eats, I think is what he said. Maybe they both like that. But other than that.
No, I mean, yeah. Have some shame. That's all I have to say.
Some dignity.
This makes, like, I was so uncomfortable the entire time.
That's why I wanted to play it.
The entire video, really, like.
The setup, everything.
And, like, I guess I was not aware of this man's, I don't want to call it behavior. this man's conduct, I guess, while promoting the Spider-Man movies were. It does seem like there was a lot of shooting a shot at Haley Steinfeld, enough to where people noticed and made like a 3-minute long.
There's a compilation of all the times he's tried something in front of like media members and
those like junket things.
Those press junket stuff.
Have some shame. That's all I have. That's
really
all I got.
You didn't get the vibe when you guys were alone. I mean, alone is not the word I'm looking for, but in private, like, when you guys are just hanging out, you didn't get the vibe? You need to take your adoration to a public space?
How old is this man?
He's in his late. He's probably your age. He's 29. Yeah.
Have some shame.
Exactly.
What he's 5'7"?
I said they are nothing alike.
Not surprising. Not surprising.
Yeah, think of it. She's about like.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
She's about 5'8 without heels, and considering the life she leads, she's probably going to be in heels a lot while they're on red carpets and stuff like that.
Believe it or not, she towers
over him.
Believe it or not, when you look up Shamik Moore, I mean, his age and height and, like, Wikipedia comes up. But, like, I'm going to say 100% of the news stories that all have pictures, so about, like, 75% of the pictures I see are of him standing next to Haley Steinfeld.
And her towering over him.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's 5'8". You throw in the heels that she's going to wear, she's probably 5'10", and the picture is 5'11".
She looks at him and goes, mouse in the house.
She does the too small sign. Is that what she did to curve him?
Rocked
the baby on him, did the too small hand, and that was it.
I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but it would be funny if that's what she did. He walks up to her, she just immediately does the too small, like she's an NBA player.
Yeah. She picked a 6'5", 240-pound guy. And
just signed like a $300 million contract.
Yeah, Shamik is doing well enough, but he ain't got that type of cash.
He's doing well enough.
Hey, I'm 5'9".
He's the voice of Miles Morales.
We all like if you're 5'9", 5'10", like me, maybe you're considered a short king. But he could probably get that off, but she's not looking for a short king right now. That's all.
You're being so nice by saying right now.
Oh, she will never look for a short king?
I don't think she's going to look for Shamik Moore.
Not after this stuff.
No offense. Maybe. Not before this stuff.
Obviously.
It doesn't seem like she was looking
But the way he's acting now removes any shot. Like I said, for guys who are still looking for the Haley Steinfeld come up, you can't act like this. You can't do this and think that's ever going to go your way. And who knows? Like he mentioned earlier, they've got movies to make. They don't have to be in the same room to voice act, but they do have to do press stuff.
They have movie to make. Isn't it the last one?
They might get, depending on how well it does, they might get to more. It's animated stuff. They can do this for years.
I thought it was only three.
Cash grab, Sean.
I know, but.
We will know if this thing hits like half a bill and they don't make another one because, well, Haley Steinfeld won't be around this guy anymore.
I'll also say, like, Shameik Moore or Haley Steinfeld, movies to make. Shameik Moore,
yes,
movie to make?
Well, he does have the music, so I don't know how well
I've
he does there.
I've never listened to – I didn't know he was a musician.
Neither do I. Neither did I. But he was in a good movie called Dope. It came out maybe 2018. That's actually a good movie that he's in.
Yeah, okay.
So he was good in that, but I don't know how much he's done since.
Okay, so 2018. Got it.
Yeah. So maybe there's more in his future, but right now, find yourself another girl. And when she turns you down, don't do this. All right.
Sabrina Carpenter.
She's shorter than him. She wears heels. They'll still be the same size. So that might work out for you if he's just looking for pop stars to date. And she's an actress, too. All right. Sometimes you lose yourself.
I'm like, still uncomfortable.
That's why I was not going to get out of the segment without playing the clip, just to show where that man's at right now. It's been rough for him. Can't lose the girl who was never yours.
Does he have friends?
Not ones that are going to admit to being his friends right now.
No, I mean behind closed doors. Does he have people that are like, hey man, maybe don't put together a 4-minute video about how you don't care. Ha ha.
Yeah, the moment
everyone's kikiing.
The moment you make the Instagram, the moment
I didn't know that was a word. I mean, I know it's a word
I
or something.
Didn't know it was used in that way. The moment you make the Instagram live, and then not only did you do the live, then you say, "I'm going to take it to a different platform and post it on Twitter in case you missed it."
I'm not done. Wait a minute, y'all thought I was finished.
He said, "In case you missed it on the live, I'm bringing it here."
Ugh.
That's where he's at, Sean. I can't look at Miles Morales in the same way ever again.
I honestly can't.
It's almost like when Michael told me not to watch the Rebel Moon sequel. Am I going to watch the third Spider-Man movie? And all I got to think about is him and Spider-Gwen and what's real and what isn't? Come on.
It's going to ruin the immersion.
Don't bring reality into my Spider-Man. I don't need that.
I honestly like those movies fine. I don't know.
They're all right.
Yeah. Second one overrated. But I didn't know who this guy was. I didn't even know that Haley Steinfeld was the girl. Like, I was just like, oh, look at these.
Yeah.
look at this movie. That's Nick Cage, just Spider-Noir. Other than that, I have no idea who any of
John Mulaney and Spider-Pig.
Great casting. I don't think I can watch the movies the same now.
It's awkward.
With this happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, and there's apparently like a love affair possibly between the two. And then we get this reality.
I don't think I can watch the Bills. I don't know. Like, I'm just going to be so uncomfortable.
Every time you think of Josh Allen, you're like, man, Josh
Shameik
Allen.
Moore.
You think Dell's a hater. You got a giant hater in Shameik Moore. All right. We are way over, but who cares? We will come back with some actual things that have to do with sports. A big championship weekend. We'll see where we land on all these games. Free Bevo? That's a story now. We'll get into that as well. We are done with hour one. We've got hour two when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.